This morning, you can go ahead and turn in your Bibles if you want to Acts chapter 2, and we'll get there here in just a minute. We've been in a series called Living as a Christian, talking about some of our most basic core beliefs and our basic core practices of what it looks like to actually live as a Christian. And part of this is intended for those of us who are young in the faith or immature in our faith, but it's also a good reminder for every one of us, no matter where we are at in our journey, of what it actually looks like to live as a Christian. And so we've talked about some of our core beliefs of what we believe about the Bible, about who God is, about who we are as humanity, and then what is the gospel. And we've started talking about these practices, these spiritual disciplines that every one of us lives out, right? That we talked about prayer, communication with God. We talked about studying God's word to know what is true. Last week we talked about fighting sin and temptation and how we relate to sin as Christians. This week we're going to talk about the church community, right? This thing that we do every week, this thing that we are throughout the week. And the reason we're doing this, right, is because each one of us comes in with maybe different views about what the church is, about what it's supposed to be or what it's not supposed to be or all sorts of things. We've got a lot of different perspectives on church. Today I want us to think about the church. What is it? How do we relate to it? How should we think about the church? In our culture and in our country, maybe more specifically in the South, in the Bible Belt, there really is a gap in the church when it comes to commitment and belonging, right? There's a lot of people that, there's a recent Gallup poll, and it suggests this. It suggests that there's about 44% of Protestant Christians attend church at least once every other week, right? That at least 50% of the time, about 44% of self-proclaimed Protestant Christians, this is not including Catholics and others, 44%. And then that same survey, about 43%, so basically an equal number, seldom or never attend church services. Like, you know, they're the occasional whatever. So as many are here pretty frequently, at least every other week, as are never attending, right? I don't know about you, but that seems to be a problem, right? There's a massive misunderstanding, as we're going to read today, about what the church is and what we're meant to be. But there's a real misunderstanding up here of what our relationship to the church should be. And this, by no means am I saying, hey, listen, you need to be here every week or you need to be worried about your salvation. That is not what I'm saying in any way, right? But it used to be that being committed to church meant that you were there most every week. And now, if you're here once a month, those people would say, yeah, we're committed. That's our church, right? In our own Angelina County, about 40% of people identify as Christians. I don't know if that number strikes you weird or low or high or what, right? We live in the Bible Belt. Everybody we know is Christians, right? It seems like most everybody would be Christians, but only 40%. So that's 2 out of every 5. So you're more likely to meet a non-Christian in Angelina County than you are a Christian, which is pretty crazy. But if the numbers are true about that 40-whatever percent, that means that today, in church, right now, about 1 out of every 5 people in Angelina County. So as many people are sitting in a church today, belonging to a church, committed to a church, gathering with a church today, there's 4 people who are not, right? And so that means about half of those people who claim Christ in Angelina County are not involved in a Christian community each week, right? We got a gap. We got a disconnect between what we say we believe in God's word about what the church is and what our practice actually is. And so I want us to spend our time today thinking about what should we think about the church? What should our practice be as far as belonging to, committing to a church? In Acts chapter 2 and throughout the book of Acts, we see a lot of descriptions of the early church, right? The beginning of the church, the beginning of this body of believers that are following Jesus' commands. And some of it throughout the book of Acts is very culturally specific to their day. But most of it, and really all of it in principle, applies to us and how we are to live as a church. And so I want to look at one of those core passages together. This is Acts 2, verse 42 through 47. And we can't, man, we should spend lots of time on this, but we can't. We'll just read it and talk about a few high points. And it says, they devoted themselves, talking about this early church, this early gathering of believers. This is what they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Man, that's a great description of a church, right? You think about just who they were and what they were about and some of the things that were happening among them. And there's many things we could study here, and each of them we should take time. Just this devotion to God's word, the fellowship, the care for one another, their unity, even just the sharing of meals in their homes and in public spaces. And it led to this multiplication, this spreading and filling the earth, right, with the image of God. And each one of those deserves real thoughtful consideration for us as we think about what the church is supposed to be and what we're supposed to be about. But let me just provide a real simple definition for us. What do we see? What is this right here? What is this simple definition of church? It's a local gathering of believers committed to one another and to God's word. It's a local gathering of believers committed to one another and to God's word. Now, if you asked people, what is church, or what is a church, you're going to get a lot of definitions. You're going to get a lot of things about buildings. You're going to get a lot of things about organizations and structures. Some people, it's a feeling, right? Man, today we had church, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, some people, it's a feeling. It's an excitement. It's a whatever. But truthfully, the word just means gathering. It's a local gathering of believers committed to two things, to each other and to God's word, right? Now, each one of these local gatherings is a part of the bigger church, the Big C church, the global church. It's made up of all believers. It's physically impossible for us together with all believers every Sunday, right? That's not going to be possible. One day in heaven, we'll do that. But each church was established when Paul went around. He established all these local gatherings, right? They had leaders and they had organization and they had all that sort of stuff. But they were to gather together to be committed to one another and to God's word. This is what they did. And we see, you can kind of see it here, that there was this larger gathering where they gathered in the temple and they also gathered from house to house, right? Sometimes they could get everybody together, but sometimes it was just some of them, right? And those serve two different purposes, and we'll talk about each one of those. But really, those small local things, those small things house to house, were so that they could practice what we call the one another commands in Scripture. Scripture in the New Testament, it uses this Greek word allelon, which means one another. And it uses it over 100 times in the New Testament alone. And about 60 of those are commands given to the church for how they are to treat who? One another. How they are to treat themselves, what they are to do amongst themselves. Romans 12:5 says that we as members are members of one another. Right? That's what it means to belong to a church. So a church is primarily a people. It's not this building, it's beautiful, right? I love the lights. I love to turn them off and be in here when it's dim, right? It's beautiful, right? But that's not the church. The church is us. It's us. It's one another. That's the church at the end of the day. And it says in the New Testament that we belong to one another. And these are some of the commands that are given to us in the church. I'll just read a few of them. We're called to love one another. This is given at least 16 times. That we are called to love one another. We're called to be devoted to one another. We're called to honor one another above yourselves. We're called to live in harmony with one another. We're called to build up one another. We're called to be like-minded towards one another. We're called to accept one another. We're called to admonish one another. We're called to care for one another. We're called to serve one another. We're called to bear one another's burdens. We're called to forgive one another. We're called to be patient with one another. We're called to speak the truth in love to one another. We're called to be kind and compassionate to one another, and that's just a short list, right? It goes on and on about how we are to treat one another. And so the church is not just a bunch of programs. It's not like the YMCA that you just kind of sign up for the things that you like and that you're going to get something out of. The church is not just a place, right, that we have beautiful architecture and stained glass. The church is a people. It's a relationships. It's a committed group of people, committed to one another and committed to God's word. Now, if you notice that all those commands for one another, I mean, that may sound like, that seems like a lot. Like, I don't know if I really like these people that much. I don't know if I want to accept everyone. I don't know if I want to admonish anybody. I don't really want to forgive. I don't really want to bear their burdens. It's really just about me and my own, right? But the beauty of the church is that it's mutual, right? And so though, yes, we are called to be devoted to one another, that means that there's others that are devoted to us. Though we honor one another, that means that there's others who are honoring us. That we're building up others, we're also being built up. Though we're caring for one another and that costs something, we're also being cared for. We're bearing somebody's burdens, but then they're bearing ours. There's a mutual upbuilding. There's a mutual strength in this community. And so it's important for us to realize that the church is primarily a group of people called to, full of relationships, trying to live out God's way in God's world. It's not primarily just an event to attend. It's not just Sunday mornings right here. The church exists all throughout the week in all kinds of different places. And there's an immense benefit from belonging to and being part of and being committed to a church. See, I think God has put this desire in each one of us as humans, this desire to belong to something. And we see it in that video this morning, right, of the gym in Thailand, right? Anybody do CrossFit in the room? Anybody? We don't have any CrossFitters. Do you know a CrossFitter? Anybody know a CrossFitter? Okay, you know anybody who goes to a gym and is just really vocal about it? Anybody in the room? We're a bunch of lazy folks, man. We don't know anybody going to the workout or nothing. Oh, dang, this is not good. If you ever meet somebody who does CrossFit or is really into their gym, they love it, right? Because they're in there every day battling to get stronger, to get fitter, to get better. And it's this brotherhood, this sisterhood of people, right? Why do people get into that? Because it's terrible, right? It can't feel good at all. Why do people get into that? Because they belong to something. Because they're a part of something. See, God has put it in each one of our hearts. We want to belong to something. We want to be known and to know other people, right? We have this desire in us because we're created in the image of God to belong to a people. How many of you would say you're antisocial in the room? I am. All right, okay, we got a few. All right, thank you. Thank you for being honest. How many of you say you're just big-time social people, just get fed off of being around a lot of people? Okay, a few of you. I know you. I know who you are because you're all up in my bubble sometimes. It's okay. No matter how antisocial we are or how social you are, we are relational beings because we were created by a relational God in His image. And every one of us desires to belong to something. And when we don't find that in the church, we find it in something else, whether it's a sport or a gym or an activity or something, right? We are all looking to belong to something. And for us as Christians, what God, there's nothing wrong with belonging to a gym or a men's organization or whatever. But we are called to be part and belong to this body of believers. This is how Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 12. You can flip there with me if you want. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. And he says, he's talking about the church. He says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized and into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body and each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greatest honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Man, there's so much here. You need to go today and read this and think about how this applies to us as the church and how this applies to you. But the Bible uses this analogy of a human body with lots of different members. That we are a body and we're made up of a lot of different parts. We collectively make up the church, and it takes every one of us. Individually, we are not meant to be separated from the body, right? Like pinkies should not be out there on their own. They're meant to be connected to the hand. And if there's just random hands in places, then you start to get a little worried, right? You know what I'm saying? If you just see body parts by themselves, it's not good. It's not good, right? Just like Adam and Eve in the garden. What does he say? It's not good that man should be what? Alone, right? It's not meant to be as a Christian that we are to be alone. We are to belong to and to contribute to the body in our own unique way. And everybody's is different, right? But Christianity is ultimately a communal faith. And this so flies in the face of our Western individualism, right? As Texans, as East Texans, we are proud of what we can do on our own, that we can provide, we can take care of ourselves. And there's value in that the Bible talks about. But we are meant to be a communal faith, to rely on one another and to provide for one another. See, belonging to the body is meant to be like an arm belongs to my body, right? I love how it talks about that when one member suffers, they all suffer. This week, I've had some foot pain, and I have a video I can show you. This is so off topic. Anyway, I'm headed down this road. A few weeks ago, I rolled my ankle on this step right here, and I just tumbled down to the floor. It's pretty sad and terrifying, and anyway, kind of embarrassing. So I've had this pain in my foot since then. Duh, right? You roll your ankle 100 times in your life, of course. And so I went to the doctor this week, and they took an x-ray and some tests and tried to figure out what was going on. He sat there, he's like, well, does this hurt? Does this hurt? And finally, he locates this little spot between my pinky toe and whatever that next toe is. Is that my ring toe? Is that what we call it? Does it have a name? It's not on my left foot. It's on my right foot, so I don't know what that toe is. But between those metatarsals, which are the bones that go up to your ankle, there's some nerves right there, and those nerves, right between the pinky toe and the ring toe, there's some nerves, and they're inflamed. It's called a neuroma. Didn't know what that word was till this week. And I've got a neuroma, right? Have I ever thought about my pinky toe and my ring toe? No, not really. But you know when I've thought about it a lot? This last week. You know why? Because it hurts. It hurts to walk. Hurts to sleep. It hurts to put it in certain positions. It hurts right now, right? And you don't know that. You can't tell that my neuroma is killing me between my right metatarsals. But I think about that this week as I read this passage, because that's what he's saying, right? That's part of my body, and I don't give it any consideration. But that part of my body matters a lot. Those nerve endings matters a lot, because if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, then I don't sleep well, then I can't walk well, then I roll my ankle and fall off the steps, right? Bad things happen, right? This is, I think this has a point. We are all members of one another, and we're meant to function like that. That when one member hurts, we all hurt. When one member rejoices, we also all rejoice, because we share in that, right? There's this community, this belonging to one another. Now, this just flies in the face of our context, because we live in a culturally Christian context. You go to Brookshire's today after church, you're going to see most people wearing a collared shirt, looking like they've been to church. If you ask them if they know who Jesus is, what are they going to probably say? Yeah, right? He came at Christmas and he died on the cross, right? Most people in our context believe in Jesus, but most people do not belong to a church in a significant way. Most people are random body parts floating around, receiving no care, no vitality, right? There's not this committed belonging to a people. We also live in a very low commitment culture, right? Anybody have any friends that are a little flaky in the room? You're not real sure if you can depend on their word or not? This is becoming pretty common in our culture, right? People say they're going to be somewhere, do something. They may not follow through, right? And it's just kind of accepted. Maybe the word doesn't mean as much as it used to. But in our low commitment culture, belonging to a church means even more, because it's going to cost you something to have relationships. It's going to cost you something to commit to be somewhere, to serve, to give, to all the things that being a part of a church means. It costs you something. And most of us, a lot of people look at that and go, that cost just, I'm not sure if that's worth it or not. But anything worth having should cost us something. And so if we look through the rest of Scripture, what we see is these terms of belonging and commitment when it comes to the church. So being a part of a church means a lot of different things, and we don't have time to go through all these in detail. But number one, belonging to a church is a commitment to these things. It's a commitment to gathering. Church literally means gather, together, the gathering, right? Gathering together to learn God's word, to worship, to grow as disciples in both large settings and small settings, right? Hebrews 10 says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another as we see the day drawing near. We've got to get together, right? Because I need you and you need me, right? We need each other. We're better together. It's literally on the logo, right? It's part of what we're called to be, that we need one another. We need this, where there's a variety of generations, there's a variety of experience and a variety of all sorts of things. I need to see older saints worship, and I need to see younger saints coming into the faith, and I need to experience and understand what you're going through. There is value in being in the large group and seeing that this is bigger than just me and my little group of friends, or this is bigger than, there's a transcendence, there's something that God's doing way bigger than us. But I also need something small, right? Because I need to connect to people and have relationships, people that I can go to when I've got a problem, that I can care for when they have a problem. It's hard to know. I can't possibly know everything that's going on in everybody's life today. There's too many of us. But we need a group where we can know one another and care for one another and practice the one another's. See, belonging is a commitment to gathering. It's a commitment to working together to make disciples. You can go to Ephesians 4, you can go to Matthew 28, a lot of places. But we're called as a body to grow up in every way, to make the body grow. Right? We are called as a group of people to work together to make new disciples and to make mature disciples here and at the ends of the earth. This is one of the privileges we get. We're going to talk about this a lot more next week in missions and evangelism. We're called to belonging as a commitment to serve the ministries and the needs of the church. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. God's made us all unique. Some of us are phalanges and metatarsals, and some of us are fingers and eyes and mouths, and I don't want to be a mouth, but that's what God's called me to be right now. Like, we need every part of the body. We all have a way we can serve the church. And it doesn't mean that we're all back in children's church today. That is the last place that you should ever put me, right? It's just not, I love kids, but I'm just not good at communicating truth to little kids. But there are people in our church that are. And there's people that love doing all sorts of things in our church. See, God's made you on purpose, and he's put you as part of this church on purpose. Use what God has given you to bless the church. Belonging is a commitment to giving. The New Testament talks about this over and over. 2 Corinthians 9, he says this, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God's able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." It's going to cost something to be a part of a church. We're called to give. This is not a pitch for tithing. This is just to say we're called to bless one another. We're called to be selfless when it comes to our money. Anything that we have that matters at all will cost us something. And we're called to give. We're called to unite together. We're called to unite together over sound doctrine and shared belief in the gospel. See, really, there's nothing in this room today that unites us together. It's not race. It's not socioeconomic class. It's not where we were born and raised. It's not family. It's not, there's nothing. There's no single characteristic that defines us except for Jesus. Like, you could not get this group of people to agree on pancakes or biscuits, right? You could not get us to agree on where we're going to eat lunch today or what color the carpet should be or whatever, right? You just couldn't. Let alone throw money in the equation. You go, man, we got all kinds of views when it comes to money. What can we unite over and what should we unite over? It's not our shared commitment to green carpet. It's not our shared commitment to biscuits and gravy. It's our shared commitment to Christ and Christ alone, that he rescues sinners and he brings people out of darkness into light. We have to unite over that. There's going to be a lot of other things we don't agree on. We unite on that, right? We have to, membership and belonging is a commitment to reconciling when sin tries to divide us. The enemy doesn't want us to be united. I stood at a wedding 2 weekends ago, and I looked at the bride and the groom, and it's this beautiful picture, right, of the two becoming one. And what does the enemy want more than anything in that moment? He wants to divide them. He wants to separate them. He doesn't want the two to become one. He wants the one to become two. And in our relationships in the church, it's no different, right? The enemy wants to allow sin to divide us, but we're called to reconcile. And ultimately, we're called to submit to Scripture as our ultimate authority. Your submission is not to me. I am not the authority. God's Word is. And so belonging is a commitment to submitting to Scripture. When it says, hey, this is what we are to do, then we follow it. If I tell you to go a different way, don't listen to me, right? If any person tells you to go a different way than what Scripture says, we don't listen. No, we are committed to submitting to Scripture as our ultimate authority. I want to close just thinking about maybe some of the wrong ways we think about church. And many of us have maybe even lived in some of these places before. Maybe you're there now. I don't know. But I was reading in this book, Now That I'm a Christian. Great book if you're looking for you got a new Christian, immature Christian. This is a really easy book to read. Great book. But he talks about in the chapter on church some wrong attitudes towards church. And he describes first the nomadic Christian. This person just travels from church to church, right? Just like nomads. They go from land to land, depending on what they get out of the land. They never really settle. They never really set roots. They never really contribute. They're just moving from place to place, right? If you're a nomadic Christian, you need to learn that there's roots and there's commitment to a people. They need to understand the value of being planted in godly community and producing fruit long-term in those relationships. That's a wrong way to think about church. Some are exclusive Christians. This person believes that our church is the only church that gets it. Everybody else, bunch of sinners going to hell, right? There's not anybody else who has, we're the only one. This is the beginning of a cult. And these people won't associate with other churches, won't interact or fellowship with those who are outside. No, we need to understand, though, we gather together as Huntington First Baptists. There's a lot of Christians in Huntington, Texas. There's a lot of other people who have the gospel, who've been rescued and redeemed, and we're called to fellowship with them too. Number three, maybe, is the inclusive Christian. This person doesn't care at all what we believe, right? This is just about the social hour, the country club, the fellowship, the whatever. It doesn't matter. Yeah, you believe that? That's great. Y'all come in. Y'all serve. Y'all, yeah, you come sing, right? Like, there's no sound doctrine. There's no shared belief. There's no unity around God's word, right? The church is just there for social hour. Number four, and I'm finding there's more and more of these, the burned Christians. This person has had a bad experience with church. Maybe somebody's hurt them. Maybe somebody's even abused them, right? They've caused pain in their life. And that's led to them giving up on the church, right? I had this one bad experience, and so I'm just done with all church, all times, right? I'm never going back because the church is evil. The church is all this stuff, right? And there's certainly times to move on from a church. There's certainly times that we can't work things out and people move on. But every one of us recognize this. We're a bunch of imperfect people. We're going to hurt each other, right? We're going to mess up. We're going to say things we don't mean. But belonging to a church is about committing to working through that as best we can. Romans 12 says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all. Right? We are called to try to work through that. And then last, the consumer Christian. This person goes to church because they get something out of it, right? They get something out of it for their kids. They get something out of it for them. They have a program that makes sense for them, that they are consuming whatever the church has to offer, right? And if they're not getting what they came for, then what do? If I'm not getting what I came for at Academy, I'm going to go to Bass Pro Shop, right? If I'm not getting what I want at Brookshire's, I'm going to go to HEB, right? And consumer Christians, if they're not getting what they need or want out of a church, then just willy-nilly just go into the next one to get whatever they have to offer. And we need to understand that the church doesn't exist for us to just get something from. It's a mutual upbuilding that we give and we receive. We bless and we benefit. It's a mutual commitment and a shared growth. And which one of these maybe have you been at some point in your life? Which one of these maybe are you right now? Which one of these are you tempted to be? We're not called to be any of these. We're called to be committed Christians, loving the church, full of our brothers and sisters, serving, giving, receiving, growing together as we accomplish the purpose that God's given us to do right here in Huntington, Texas, and to the ends of the earth. And I'm so thankful to be a part of this local gathering of believers. I'm thankful to be here where I know you love God and we love one another as best we can. Are we perfect? Hardly. I know most of you. And I know myself. Are we perfect? No. Do we fall short? All the time. But are we committed to one another? Are we committed to God's word? Man, I believe so. And I believe more and more we are. Let me pray. God, I thank you for the church, and I thank you for those who have just given so much to make this church what it is, given of themselves and their families and their time and their talents and their money. I thank you for those in the room, God. I'm sympathetic to those who've been hurt by churches, hurt by people. God, I pray that you would bring restoration where possible, God, and you would help them to find another church to belong to. God, I pray that they would not give up on your people just because one of them hurt them. God, I pray that you would help us to be people who are committed to one another and committed to your word, to living it out in our lives more and more as the years go on. God, may we see the fruit of long-term obedience. God, I pray that for those who need to re-up their commitment, God, who've maybe gotten lax or fallen away or drifted for various reasons, God, I pray that, God, that you would help unite them to us, God, through through a small group, through a ministry, through just a lunch after church each week, God. I pray that whatever it is, God, I pray that we would take the step that we need to, God, to practice the one another's, to love one another, to bear one another's burdens. God, and may we accomplish the mission that you've given us to do together. God, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. And we give you all the praise for this, God. We pray all this in your son's name. Amen.